I'm Michael Hernandez. News time on Morning Edition is 6:45. On the Tuesday Health Watch, another form of drug abuse has stemmed from opioid addiction. When they can't get the painkillers, addicts may turn to anti-diarrhea medications like Imodium for a cheap high, but with serious consequences. Sam Baker talked about this with Dr. Shannon Ricker of the North Texas Poison Center at Parkland Hospital.
What would make it a substitute for opioid painkillers?
Well, it actually acts on the same receptors that the other opioid medications work on.
Yes, is there some active ingredient that makes this connection with the receptors possible?
It's called loperamide. It binds to the mu receptors, which are the same receptors that heroin or morphine, hydrocodone, all of those medications and drugs bind to that receptor too. And these receptors are everywhere. They're inside the lining of your GI system. They're also up in your brain. Now, when they're in the brain, those are the receptors that, when they're bound, give you that sensation of being high. Mm-hmm. They give you all of the things that you would see with someone who's using and addicted to heroin or other prescription opioids. What happened was that when we had the epidemic of people who were becoming addicted to either heroin or prescription opioid medications, they tried to detox themselves and quit, and they would wind up with unbelievably horrible withdrawal type symptoms. So they started using Imodium, knowing that it worked on those receptors, to try and help them cope with those withdrawal symptoms.
Okay.
So how that branched into the thought of, oh, well, maybe if it works on the same receptors, if I take enough of it, maybe it'll actually cross the GI barrier, get into the bloodstream, get up to my brain, and give me the high that heroin might, without having to pay or access prescription opioids or heroin itself.
Which addresses the question I was going to ask you, which was how or why somebody came to use this for this purpose anyway.
Looking back in the data from the last 10 years, we saw a slight uptrend, and it's about two or three more times common now than it was 10 years ago, of people using these medications in larger and larger and larger doses, trying to get high specifically.
Was it hard for them to get the opioid painkillers? Too expensive or too difficult to obtain?
It's becoming more and more difficult to get access to prescription pain medications. Mm-hmm. And there still is quite a stigma about illicit narcotic drugs. So someone will look at it and say, well, it's a prescription medication or it's an over-the-counter medication. It's manufactured by a pharmaceutical company. Therefore, it's much, much safer than that which I could get off of the street. Or they don't have access in the first place.
I see.
And a lot of it is just young 20-somethings who are just trying to find new and different clever ways that won't necessarily show up on toxicology panels or other drug screens.
So taken as directed, it's not a problem.
Safe.
But how much of this do you have to consume in order to achieve the high?
We have case studies of 20, 30, 40 tablets at a time being taken. And then the entire system is overwhelmed, so it crosses the GI barrier, it gets up into the brain. And there's still a lot of debate as to determine whether this is really an actual legitimate high, mm-hmm. or whether people are just experiencing a placebo effect. So it's unclear how much of it gets into the brain, into the central nervous system, to give you a high. What we do know is that this medication also has some potential consequences, especially in very, very large doses, that it can actually start to affect the electrical activity and the conduction in your heart in such a way that it caused the heart to start beating erratically, and very, very nasty consequences to that.
Is it time to maybe look at restrictions on use or sale of Imodium?
That's a very complicated question, because this medication has been safe for years and years and years. When people are taking it in that high amounts, again, people can get into trouble, but these cases are very, very, very rare. We're talking about less than 1% of all ingestions can result in effects like this. So it's definitely something that I think that the public should be aware of. But in terms of immediate action to restrict the access to this drug, I think the data is still out on that.
Dr. Rickner, thank you for being with me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.